This morning, if you would please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. We're going to read verses 11 through 32. I'll say a couple of words about this account in Scripture, and then I'm going to talk to you today, Lord willing, about this topic. God is looking for men. God is looking for men. Notice, if you would, this passage, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," it's an important statement, "and when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe." I bet the son didn't expect this, did it? "Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and is found." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful account in your word. Help us to draw some thoughts from it today as we talk about this topic, that you are looking for men. Help us, Lord, to hear with our hearts what you're saying and what you are looking for. And may we volunteer to be that kind of a man for you. Bless us now as we continue, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times when this account of Scripture is read and talked about, the focus is on the prodigal son. Every once in a while, and I've done this before in years past, I preached a three-part series on the prodigal son and also the son who stayed home, and the third week was about the father, all right? But normally the emphasis is on the prodigal son, and Today, of course, this is not the message that I preach in that series, but a different one, but the same emphasis is on the Father. Okay? You notice when the prodigal son was gone, the father was waiting for him to return home. The Bible says that when the son came to himself and made his way back home, the father was actually looking for him, waiting for him. And when he saw him a great way off, he ran to him and hugged on him and kissed him and welcomed him back home. And we know the story how that he said, get the fatted calf and kill it and let's basically throw a celebration for him because he was lost and now is found. He has come home. He's returned. And this father, by the way, also is very gracious and compassionate towards the elder son who stayed home. Because the elder son who stayed home, when he found out what was going on with the prodigal son who returned home, he was angry, he was upset, and he would not come in and be a part of that celebration. And so what did the father do? Well, he went out to that son and spoke with him kindly and compassionately and lovingly and encouraged him to come in and be a part of the celebration. You know, and he said several things in there. One thing he said was, "You're always with me. I'm always with you. You have everything I have. You get to enjoy all of that. And besides all that, we should celebrate because your brother came home." And he was very kind and very compassionate to him. Do you see, and I hope you do, but do you see a picture in this Father of our Heavenly Father? And how he is looking for those who have gone astray and waiting for them to return. By the way, about this prodigal, he did repent of what he had done and ask forgiveness. And that was an important point in this whole story. And of course, because he did that, the father welcomed him back and put the best robe on him and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and held this celebration. This father is a picture of our Heavenly Father who was looking for the prodigal, but also willing to comfort the elder son who stayed home and did everything he was supposed to do because he was somewhat offended by all that was being lavished on this prodigal brother of his. The point I want to make today is this father is a picture of our God, our Heavenly Father, who is looking for men who will try their best to be like him. The whole premise of this message today is you don't have to be like any other human being. And that includes the pastor, by the way. But try your best to imitate your Heavenly Father. Try your best to be a man like he would be. So there's 10 different statements I'm going to make today, and I promise I won't be that long. You think, 10? Wow. Usually you have 3 or 4 points. This could be a long message with 10 points, but I promise we're going to go through these rather quickly. But I want you to understand with me things that I think the Lord laid on my heart to bring to you today. Things that God is looking for within you and me as men, as fathers. And I just, again, title this very simply, God is looking for men. And each statement will start out that way. Number one statement is this: God is looking for men who will put God's business above any other business. One of the reasons why the business of God is lacking today is because people have let other things take God's place. They've allowed the things of this world to capture their attention and to take them away from the things that really matter. The things that really matter are God's things. God's things are eternal. Our things, of course, are temporary. Things of this world are only temporary. And there are a lot of things, I know this, there are a lot of things that cry out for our attention and our time and our effort and our energy and our money and so forth. But I think God is looking for men who will put His things first. You know the verse, we've all heard it, we've all memorized it, many of us have. We've quoted it before, we've read it in our Bibles. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, put God first. So God is looking for men who will put God's business above any other business. Second statement, God is looking for men who will bring their children to church rather than send them. So many young people today are growing up in homes with very little mention of God, if any. Some of those homes have parents who will send them to church, you know, with someone else, but I believe God's plan is that dad and mom would bring them to church and sit with them and fellowship in the church and in the service with them. By the way, children understand very quickly what's important to you and me. They pick up on it very fast. When you bring them to church, when you sit with them, when you sing with them, when you listen with them, when you participate in the church with them, they see that church is important to you. I don't know what you think, but I think church should be important to you because it's important to our Heavenly Father. Remember, Jesus said he gave his life for the church. That's a pretty great price. So God is looking for men who will put God's business above any other business. Number two, he's looking for men who will bring their children to church rather than send them. Third statement is God is looking for men who are willing to be the right example to every boy and girl they meet. There are boys and girls that you and I meet that are not a part of our immediate family. I think it's important for us to be the right example to them as well. I'm thinking back now to, and this church may have had a person like this at one time as well. I think I've heard rumors about that, but in my very first church, we had an elderly gentleman who came to church every Sunday with candy in his pockets. You remember who I'm talking about? And he always made sure that he shared that with the little ones in the church. And what do you think his nickname was? The Candyman. The Candyman. This gentleman, who was up in years, and I think his wife was deceased already, and children grown and all that, he became like a father or a grandfather to all the little kids in the church. Trying to be an example, trying to be a testimony, trying to love on them, trying to let them know they were important and valuable and all that. I think all of us need to keep that in mind, especially as we grow older, to be a good example to not only our children and our grandchildren, but what about the other children in the world that we meet? Whether it's in church and Sunday school, whether it's out in the community, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever it is that you go, to try to have an impact on the young ones. To let them know that there is an adult, we might not be flesh and blood, but there is an adult that thinks you're important. To be a good example. Number four statement. God is also looking for men who think more highly of the Sunday services than they do their Sunday rest or recreation. Again, there are a lot of things calling out for our attention today and pulling us, you know, in different directions. And please understand, I'm not against rest and recreation. I think all of us need that. But I still believe what the Bible says when the Bible tells us that Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And because Sunday is the Lord's Day, I think, again, we ought to put him first. Men who look more highly on the Sunday services than they do their own rest or recreation on the Lord's Day. If there should be any day of the week that you put him first, it should be Sunday. And so I'm thankful that you're here today, and I want to encourage you to be faithful. It's something that I know I pray about often for our church, that our folks, yes, that we would get others in, of course, but that our own folks would also be faithful and put the Lord first, especially on the Lord's Day. God is looking for men, number five, who measure their giving by God's principles rather than man's principles. Not many days ago in another service, I was talking about many, many years ago before I got saved, and I was growing up, of course, in the Lutheran church, and I would try my best to give an offering every week, but it's funny, I look back on it now, and it was so small. It was so small. I'd get my statement at the end of the year, and I'd have this amount, you know, and I would think that was pretty great. That amount for the whole year doesn't measure up to what we give in 1 week now. But that's the difference between knowing the Lord as your Savior and wanting to put Him first, even in your finances, from back then to right now. What a difference that it made. Of course, along the way, I've learned Luke 6:38. Remember this verse? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Notice that we start the process. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, that's God's principle. Man's principle is, well, I'll give him what's left over. Or if I have anything left over, I'll give the Lord something. But this verse and many other verses remind us that we start the process, and of course the reward will always be there. One of the things that I've learned through the years is you can't outgive the Lord. You give with a teaspoon, He gives back with a shovel. You give with a shovel, He gives back with a big old bucket. You know what big old means, right? You give with a big old bucket, He gives back with a, can you picture this? A radio flyer wagon. You give with a radio flyer wagon, and God gives back with a dump truck. I mean, you can't outgive the Lord. He gives you much, much more than you give Him. And He's very faithful at this. Again, we start the process. So God is looking for men who measure their giving by God's principles rather than man's principles. Look at that. We've gone through the first half of these 10 already. I told you this wouldn't take long. Let me review and then I'll get to number 6. Number 1, God is looking for men who will put God's business above any other business. Number 2, God is looking for men who will bring their children to church rather than send them. Number 3, God is looking for men who are willing to be the right example to every boy and girl they meet. Number 4, God is looking for men who think more highly of the Sunday services than they do their Sunday rest or recreation. Number 5, God is looking for men who measure their giving by God's principles rather than man's principles. Number 6, God is also looking for men who go to church for Christ's sake rather than for himself or someone else. Through the years, I've known people that come to church so that others will see them. This is true, by the way. I hope you'll believe me when I tell you this. When we were pastoring in Plainview, Texas, there was a church there that was much, much larger than ours called First Baptist Church. Normally in the South, First Baptist Church is going to be a Southern Baptist church. And that's what it was in Plainview. But First Baptist Church in Plainview, Texas was the church, and I hope you'll get this, was the church where anyone influential in our town went to church. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, city councilmen, you know, that's where you went to church. It was a given. Because if you want to be known and loved and respected in that town, that's where you went to church. And I remember going door to door, talking with individuals and speaking to them about, you know, inviting them to come to our church. And, oh no, I'm a member at First Baptist Church. And that's the church that all of us go to, you know. And I remember one person telling me that very thing that I just explained to you. That's the church that you go to if you want to be known in the city and loved in the city. Well, of course, naturally, that made them one of the larger churches in town. But is that a good reason to go to church? No. You know, so others will see you. You're going for someone else. God is looking for men who will go to church for Christ's sake, not for themselves or for someone else. Some people, of course, another class of folks that I've run into through the years is they'll go to a church as long as it has exactly what they're looking for them and their family. Now, I realize that you want to have things for you and your family, but what about asking the Lord where He wants you to be? I know that I'm looking at individuals right now who have been in this church for a long, long time. And I don't mind telling you this publicly, and I know I've told some of you privately, thank you for being so faithful through those years. Because some of you in this room this morning, you've seen all the six pastors that our church has had. I'm number six. And they're all different. Of course, some are better than others in your mind. Some are more loving and kind than others. Some taught the Bible better than others, I'm sure. Some you liked better. Some you wish they'd have stayed longer. Some you wish they'd have stayed shorter. You know, I'm not silly enough to believe that you loved every one of them, but I shouldn't say that. You did love them, but just, you know, everybody has their own personality and way of doing things. So there's differences. That's my point. But through it all, you stuck with it because this is your church. You're here for Christ's sake. And that's why you continue. By the way, and I hope you'll believe me when I tell you this, that's the reason I'm still here. God hadn't told me to go anywhere else. And I hope you don't mind me telling you this. I've even asked him. Not, Lord, would you please send me somewhere else? Not that. But every once in a while, and I've done this pretty much everywhere I've been, Lord, if there ever is a day when you want me to go somewhere else or be somewhere else, please show me that. I'll do my best to follow your leading. Because, you know what? I'm a little bit selfish this way. I want to be in God's will. I want to be where He wants me to be. And so far, He hadn't told me to go anywhere else. And so I'm here, again, for Christ's sake. Not my own, not anyone else's, but for Christ's sake. Again, there's people who go to church to impress others. There's people who go to church even if there's only if there's something for them and their family. But how about we go to church because we know that's where God wants us to be and we're going there to please Him? To me, I think that's an important item. Number seven, God is looking for men who have a passion to serve rather than be served. Looking through some old pictures from a couple years back here, and some of you will remember this. We had a mother-daughter type luncheon, and the men were serving. And so we had pictures of the ladies and the tables and the food. And we even had a picture there of the men standing against the wall who served that day. Now, some of those men are in heaven now. But I was thinking back to that. That's what this point is talking about. Somebody who's willing to serve rather than be served. When there's a work day called for, they show up. When there's a need mentioned from the pulpit, they do their best to try to fill that need. They're available. They're doing what they can to help their church move forward. Men who have a passion to serve rather than be served. You know, the Bible encourages us in God's Word to serve others and to serve the Lord. And so this kind of a man that God's looking for is a man who's, you know, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do that. I maybe can't sing the best. I maybe can't ever teach a lesson or play the piano or do a lot of things, but there is something I can do, and I will do that. I will do my best to be a servant to the Lord and to my church. And, of course, as we do, God will bless us and our church for that very reason. So, again, this is number seven. God is looking for men who have a passion to serve rather than be served. If all of us just sit, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. So we need men who are willing to serve. Number eight, God is also looking for men who have a humble and submissive heart rather than a proud, selfish heart. Humble, submissive heart rather than a proud and selfish heart. You know who's behind pride, don't you? That's the devil. That's Satan. He's the one who wants us to always be looking out for ourselves, putting ourselves first. You help me, you serve me, you look out for me. Isn't it amazing how people drive today? I know I mentioned this in a service recently, but it happened again this week. Sarah and I were going to Madison for something, and I won't even say if it's a male or a female, but just rudely just cut us right off. And okay, you just got to let it go. But wow, there's a lot of people like that today. People that walk through a doorway and don't hold a door for you. People that don't look out for you whatsoever. They think you should look out for them. They think they're first, you know. Well, you know, that's what the devil wants. He wants each of us to live our lives in a proud fashion and only looking out for ourselves and not caring about others. God's word encourages us, though, to follow these principles that he laid down in his word that show us we're supposed to live a humble life and a submissive life and look out for others and try to help others and serve others. God's looking for men like that. God's looking for men like that. Just got two more to go. Number 9. God is also looking for men today who can see their own faults before they see the faults of others. For some reason, and I don't know exactly why this is, but for some reason, it's easier to see the fault in someone else than it is to see our own fault. I know individuals, I'm sure you do too, and each one of us should try not to be like this, but I know individuals who are very, very quick to point out the faults of others and the shortcomings of others. And at the same time, they don't see their own faults. Do you ever wonder why that is? Not only is it easier to see the faults in others before we see our own, but often it's very difficult to admit that I've got faults. Every once in a while, boy, I hope you don't mind this, sweetheart, but every once in a while after a sermon, Sarah says to me, "You need to be more careful what you say up there about, you know, living a sinful, you're a sinner and, you know the thoughts you have and all that kind of stuff. They're going to think you're really wicked." I hope you know I do my best to live a clean, decent, moral life. But the reason I mention things like that every now and then is because I know who I am. At my core, I know who I am. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Without, I mean this sincerely, without Jesus Christ, I'm a vile individual. So I thank him for saving me and changing me. And if he ever took his hand off me, it would be bad. But you know, why not be honest about who you are? Why not be the kind of person who, and you don't have to tell everybody, like I do, but why not just be honest about who you are? Right? I mean, instead of hiding it, listen to this verse. I shared this verse with someone recently. Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Just fess up. Just admit it. I'm a guilty sinner. I need forgiveness. But I see my faults, see? Don't you like that song? It's a gospel-type song that talks about the fact that, I think we played it in a service here recently, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my need." Thank God for that. God is looking for men who can see their own faults before they see the faults of others. And then the last one I want to give you this morning is this. God is also looking for men who are more concerned about winning God's approval than they are about winning the approval of others. Someday, every one of us will stand before the Lord. Someday, we'll all give an account to Him. That's what we need to remember. Is it important that people like us? Well, everyone wants to be liked, right? And everyone wants to be thought well of, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But the most important person to please is not that human being next to you. The most important person to please is God Almighty. By the way, on that day, everything's going to be revealed. All the secrets will be revealed. Everyone will be present. No one will get to escape. Everyone will be judged. All will be revealed. Don't you think the most important approval that we need is God's approval? And of course, it certainly is. Quickly, let me just review and then I'm done. I'm talking this morning about God is looking for men. He's looking for men who will put God's business above any other business. He's looking for men who bring their children to church rather than send them. He's looking for men who will be willing to be the right example to every boy and girl they meet. He's looking for men who think more highly of the Sunday services than they do their Sunday rest or recreation. He's looking for men, number five, who measure their giving by God's principles rather than men's principles. Number six, God is looking for men who go to church for Christ's sake rather than himself or someone else. Seven, God is looking for men who have a passion to serve rather than be served. Eight, God is looking for men who have a humble, submissive heart rather than a proud, selfish heart. Nine, God is looking for men who can see their own faults before they see the faults of others. Number 10, God is looking for men who are more concerned about winning God's approval than they are about winning the approval of others. As you think about this list, and I could put other things in and I could keep it shorter and all that, but as you think about this list, you think the father in our story that we started with measured up to this pretty well? I think so. I think the father of the prodigal son and the father of the elder son who stayed home and complained, I think that father was a good example of these 10 principles. I think our heavenly father is a good example of these 10 principles. I can't speak for you, men, but I don't mind raising my hand. I want to be like that. I would like to be this kind of a man that God is looking for. By the way, this world, not only God, but this world needs men like this. This church needs men like this. I hope today you'll volunteer and say, I want to be that kind of man. For my God, for my family, for my country. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. I want to be that kind of man that God's looking for. Heavenly Father, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I do pray that you will help us to be willing to volunteer. We may not be able to measure up to all 10. We may be able to get 5 of them, 6 of them, 7 of them, 8 of them. But we're trying to get the ones that we can't even reach yet. Hopefully that's our heart's desire. I want to be the kind of man that God's looking for so that I can lead my family in the direction it needs to go, so I can help to lead my church in the direction it needs to go, so I can try to lead my country in the direction it needs to go. Help me to be that kind of man, Lord. May that be the heart's desire of each one of us. Bless this invitation now as we give it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.